for the 5D Collective, we have some amazing times. Anyone who is new, a 5D person is a person who is at the very least aware of their emotional spectrum in a way of having a window of welcome. Or even if there is a window of tolerance, it is not one where you justify the emotional triggers. So the adaptive child behavior, the projection of unfinished business. So you know how to be aware of your own adaptive child and to tend to it. And so not to project your nervous system's needs on another, but to instead talk about it. And obviously that doesn't mean you don't have a reaction. No, it means you're aware of those adaptive child patterns. Okay, so 5D Collective is aware of enlightenment, the human way. They are aware of our mammalian heritage, our birthright to be a restorative embodied self and your open-hearted three-year-old self. Doesn't mean you're there yet, but you are very much in the I'm not going to be an ego-sensitive 4D person or 3D. I'm going to be a person who is going to take that journey of personal development. And the personal development can also integrate a therapist, of course. So those of you who are, again, aware of the aspects of our human nature, that's why the 5D is having a different way of harnessing everything that comes with all of these new ascension energies. And they're not new. We've been having ascension energies for a long time already, but they're not taking them and saying there are energy vampires, dark auras, and so on and so forth. The 4D collective and 3D, on the other hand, are not interested in emotional building regulation skills, in emotional heavy lifting. They are not keen on personal development in a way of let me tend to what comes up. They project it. In fact, what I've noticed is a spirituality bypass, and so the codependency type person, martyrs or superiors, spirituality again, bypassers, and the blamers. So the shame cycle is what you will notice they will be actively participating in, but their behavior is something they don't look at, like a Cusco not looking at himself. So from the Emperor's New Groove, the 5D Collective are Pachas, and the rest is Cuscos, and this is not a competition. You can't go to somebody and say, hey, I think you need to go to therapy. That's pretty much not your job or nice or, you know, again. So 5D Collective knows that every person's journey, their way back home to their heart, to be their self. We didn't need to do Frozen 2. We got to understand we're humans first, and we do bring with us the spiritual and spirituality stuff, but we're a whole three-year-old heart. So we choose to be our humanity. And that's why it's easy for the person who's a 5D collective individual to say, yeah, I want to learn how to do my emotions like a grown-up. It's fun. Functional adults, conscious lovers, it's fun. 3D, 4D has a different mindset. They have a different approach. And that's where the good therapists are out there. There's a lot of education. So everyone has access to YouTube and online. Well, not everybody, but you understand what I'm saying. So in the meantime, for us, ascension energies allow the human love narrative and your consciousness to expand. We bring more Pachas out into the world for specific guidance on personal development, inner growth, all this great stuff we talk about. You can become a paid subscriber for anything curiosity related. You can just send emails and ask away. We have FAQs. I look forward to hearing from you all. Let's continue with our episode. Before we go, I wanted to share another episode. We already had one short 10-minute video podcast on YouTube, but for our solar eclipse, and thanks to being with a bunch of lovely attachment trauma therapists out there, we can continue to talk about what empowered women and empowered people do. So when, in this case, an empowered woman gets love bombed by an avoidant who then friend zones her. And remember, I'm a 5D mystic that is solo polyamorous, and that's important to note, but also that I'm in the Enlightenment Soul Age group. So these equations can be, aka, for the empowerment and the enlightenment, it's your embodied, restorative embodied self. So the embodiment of yourself can be restorative if you have something like this. Okay, one, self-awareness and self-reflection. So you have emotional accountability, and then you know how to talk about it and regulate yourself. And you develop, therefore, an understanding of what your innards, so interoception. Remember those eight senses, okay? So we have visual, auditory, gustatory, olfactory, tactile, vestibular, proprioception, interoception. So your innards, what's required, though, is a deliberate practice of tuning in to observe what the body's doing from time to time. And not do, I don't want to do personal development, I want life now, okay? The example is on a website, level7.is, conceptual versus, and I forget the title, but Laura has a lot of embodied self-awareness. When she's holding back anger, she senses heat in her ears and a set jaw. Tuning into the sensation reminds her to breathe and calm down before responding to a difficult situation. When she's sad, she feels her throat closing up and a twisting in the stomach, and da-da-da-da-da. Okay, so when you overflow with humanity, thank you, Sadhguru, divinity has to descend. The 5D collective is a bunch of people who have emotional awareness, accountability, and desire to self-regulate and then to build 5D relationships. Okay, so we love our relationships, which is why there's no sagas with our twin flames or anything like that. Here's where when we meet avoidant men, we will recalibrate in time. And we will be in a joyousness of being friend-zoned, because that means we can continue building the relationship. The solo polyamory secure attachment woman is a person who knows how to be their safe haven, secure base. So we're not building a couple-centric environment. We are building our 24 hours every day in a way of our inner child being happy. My 3-year-old is here. My 1-year-old is here. I'm the grown-up in my human being brain, okay? And we also know the 5D collective, that spirituality is a way of living with meaning and connection beyond the solo self, because we have the big ball of energy that we're all a part of. So we're fragments of each other. That's why your oversoul doesn't get smaller, it gets bigger. And on that note, when we have the embodied self, restorative embodiment, you will have this being in the present moment without the need for explanation or judgment. You will be filled with feelings like awe, grace, connection, peace, beauty, love, and oneness. And restorative embodiment focuses on the body as a resource to support and reinforce the internal sense of self-agency and resilience. So here's the deal. Empowerment is when you have self-awareness, self-reflection, but you also have the capacity to want to and to handle if you have any self-soothing mechanisms that are not positive for your health. Okay, this is something important, because the part about how you are informed by your emotions first is where people that don't understand why behavior, when we hear Janina Fisher, as she shares in any good attachment trauma information person, behavior is not to be pathologized, it's to be understood. Okay, number one, how did I respond to this situation? Or how did I react? Do I want to respond? The question is, does a human being care about another? Which is why I read to you spirituality. So the solo self, I'm a solo self, but I'm a solo self with an ego, my child part, that is with a grown-up, my prefrontal cortex. And so I'm able to handle that nervous system. That's why I'm the safe haven. Solo poly is not because you're alone. It's because you can handle emotions that arise and talk. Functional adult love language. So our 5D relationships are all about people who want to build healthy self-worth relationships. And that begins with you. So your intimacy is your own. Self-agency and resilience in this case is possible because you don't have unawareness of if you get charged. If you get charged, you take ownership of your brainstem activity. So you don't forgive, you do forgive, but you don't, what's the word? You do not lack taking accountability. If you get stressed emotionally, you say, you know what? I got stressed. If you have this way of coming in and out of people's lives, you say, I come in and out of people's lives this way. You take ownership, you can explain it, you want to explain it. So that's the part of where if a person's working with their actual behavior, they will know that consistent change in behavior results in change of mood and emotions. These are studies from people, again, in attachment and trauma therapy groups of experts. So a person who's aware of these concepts, they're not made out of thin air. That's why, again, a restorative embodiment is your mammalian heritage. I'm living it. I share it with you. And empowered women do not harbor resentment. They do not harbor mistrust for the gender of men. They do not harbor past situations and keep bringing them to the forefront. That's not an empowered woman. So you are not going to be thinking there are no men that are going to potentially be emotionally available. You're going to know that an emotionally available human being will be a direct communicator. And in fact, this is the part of why when we're friend zoned by an avoidant after being love bombed, it will be something we will talk about. We might even get very passionate about it. We might even get, you know, angry about it. Yes, all of those emotions, but we will not be traumatized by it. Because if you have secure attachment, you're not traumatized since you have the capacity to regulate your nervous system. You are given the possibility of a safe environment in your home. Your body is your home. So you don't shut off your love because of people, meaning your heart. Because see, people do know when they're closing up their heart. Like they know when trauma charges come up. So if I feel uncomfortable, it's because I'm getting vulnerable. And so when I'm getting vulnerable, it means I'm sharing a part of me that I have shared. And that is where the restorative embodiment, I'm able to talk about it and not feel, though, that I'm going to be in danger or that I am unhappy. And when I share vulnerability, at this point with me, it's with people that I have gotten to know because my herd are all people that I have. And so the ones that are empowered, like I am, because they have self-reflection, self-awareness, they're honest all the time with their emotions, those are the people that I go and share my depths with. So if I get uncomfortable, and in this case, with genders, it is important for those of us who have, so for me, experiences with men that are avoidant and avoidant fearful. So they will have built a series of events, which, I mean, I began as a teenager with, you know, teenage boyfriend, whether or not he has secure attachment, he definitely didn't grow out of his low self-esteem teenager stuff. And I've seen a lot of other secure attachment people that they just live, you know, again, hangover the movies. So when that's the case, you just leave it alone because, you know, people think that lust is love, which is not. When you have healthy self-worth men, it's a very different equation because they consistently know how to give you direct communication. So the direct communication doesn't mean I will do what you want me to do. No, it means I know how to talk about who I am and how I am emotionally and how I do things and how my tone works and how my manners are. This is called I have awareness of myself. Then restorative embodiment is a journey for a person to achieve. They need to first have an environment of safety to get out of dysregulated and modulated, which can happen. Awareness of their attachment category is important, or style, because this way they could know, okay, my emotions, for example, for the avoidant, it's I'm going to shut down whenever I feel pressured to be emotionally available because I did not get emotional availability the first year of my life. So in my body, my 0-1-year-old is freaking out because that's what I learned to do. No, it's not that. It's that the first year of life, you're looking for consistent, contingent communication. And so that is not given. And the avoidant, their emotional body is taken offline. That's why. For the ambivalent, they have the opposite. They're revved up, I think is the word. So they go into hyperactivity. So the avoidant also, furthermore, they're shut down from their body until they regain that. So it's like the head being chopped off. And that's something that I don't want to focus too much on, but I wanted to get to disorganized because they have an inner conflict. They have defense mechanism, their nervous system reactive for fear, and then they also have attachment system. So there's internal fragmentation. Okay, so nobody needs to justify any behavior, but the avoidant and the avoidant fearful will shut down. So they shut you out. If they're getting overwhelmed, that means they shut their heart up and they don't give space for you, but they will know they've went rigid because they will know with self-awareness that they have done something. Now, self-reflection If they don't move into, I care about my herd, they will not actually have a, let me take ownership of my behavior and what I've brought to the table to a person. So this is the free will moment. That is why a person who doesn't observe their behavior and how it affects their herd, so your observing of your behavior means if I have a human being who is getting emotional with me, that I am going to give them an answer. If you justify, I will not, I shut down communication, all lines, this is the indication of what we have when we got emotionally immature people in general. With that being said, the only difference with ambivalent is that the ambivalent gets chaotic, but really it doesn't even matter because they're going to at most yell at you, insult you, you know, they're gonna give you a show and then they're gonna cut you out. Okay, so on that note, anyone who doesn't have empowerment is basically those people who are cancel culture. The ones who also say you can't be friends with your exes or you can't befriend anyone who has like this whole or nothing is a teenager attitude because you're not willing to be in emotionally uncomfortable situations, which is when confrontation happens. So if you're instead a restorative embodiment of yourself, you're your mammalian heritage. Okay, so an empowered woman, this is where even as a teenager, direct communication is a functional adult. Okay, and moving from this, when avoidance, when love bombing has happened, it's most beautiful. Obviously, consistent lovers are more beautiful because they're a person who's not going to be addicted to their roller coaster ride. So they're not actually a person who has this need for roller coaster ups and downs, intermittent reinforcement. So a person who's not, in my book, a man, is a person who doesn't know how to handle their emotions. So you're not a man yet because you're still a teenager version of yourself and, you know, you get off of things like, you know, action movies, so to speak. So you're a bunch of not the love oxytocin gene hormone for one inside. You're a bunch of lust and whatever adrenaline stuff that is. And that's not actually going to lead you anywhere because you need to get a hit. So you're going to have the mannerism of what I guess one could say playboy. Okay, so we could just do that. But again, for a empowered woman in all of these situations, this is the part of where I noticed as I was getting older with the teenagers and then the young adults. And then as I got to become a 25-year-old single woman, and then I got to become a mystic with my twin flames and all of that great stuff. And so moving into solo polyamory was not challenging. I had already had an open relationship and also I'm not jealous. So I already had compersion, even with a teenage boyfriend. To this day, I'm friends with him and her, and actually her more than him. And I love that we are able to have this relationship. It took time. It took time because of their leading life with those social constraints. To me, no ex is an ex. In fact, the solo polyamory is about relationship anarchy and non-hierarchical. And in my book, it's because there ain't no way I'm going to put a label on you. You're a human being that I love. You're a human being I shared life with. It's actually very grounded in humanity. It doesn't have to be in the plane of mysticism. But as a mystic, what I can share with you is all the people that are in my life, I've had lives with. So the important men in my life, yes. In fact, I have had recent downloads of one of them, and that this is because while I am a quote-unquote star baby, and it's another one of those gifts that you get as the enlightenment soul age group mystics, okay? So we can look to all of those lives and make a lot of, like, just amazingness of it. But we don't have to share it because it's, again, in our mind's eye, it's imagination's okay. But it's beautiful. That's all I'm going to say. Back to our topic. Yes, so I saw that most men don't know how to have, in my book, balls, and this cowardice is called emotional unavailability. And when I've seen men, one, move to being in toxic relationships, that doesn't make me happy for them because I love them. And so seeing that they get to be, but this is a part I learned already, that they're choosing that. They want to be owned that way. Their 0-1-year-old is not in the forefront. Their 3-7 shame submissive. They're playing out their karma. That's why they don't ever move into dharma. Okay, so some people, their unfinished business is what, like Teriel says, they marry it. And that would be your childhood coming up to life as a grown-up, which is why you're not a man in my book, because you are not emotionally maturing. You're not using your prefrontal cortex. You haven't learned anything about attachment trauma. So obviously, you don't have, you know, the updated 2024 mentality. And the ones who say, don't enable the avoidant, they are just as unaware of what empowerment means. Okay, so we don't enable each other. We participate in each other's lives. If you are not self-reflective or self-aware, and you have an adaptive child leading the way, which is going to be a maladaptive child behavior, I know, thanks to Stephen Porges and all of my classes, that you're offline, that you're leading with those child parts. So I'm not handling a human being that is with self-awareness at all. I don't have a person who's going to take accountability, ownership, or any of that with their emotional plane. I have a teenager, which I see all over YouTube, by the way, Peter Pans, Cuscos, squirrels, you name it. The women who think they're empowered and they're in codependent, whether it's let's live the princess fairy tale or not, you're a codependent human being. You're not empowered. That's not empowerment. That's a person who's in the relationship soul age, which is great and dandy. You stand for the women and men who want to be in that. I stand for women and men who want to actually be their empowered human being self, which is more beautiful. Because again, let me read to you, when you have restorative embodiment, you are present moment to moment without the need for explanation or judgment, and you're filled with feelings like awe, grace, connection, peace, beauty, love, and oneness. Okay, so we do this here with your own being yourself, getting in touch with that inner child, personal development, 5D relationships. So we're not out there to go parent someone and be their babysitter. That's not what a partner is to me. You're you emotionally and mentally and physically. I'm me emotionally, mentally, and physically. And we come together and say, look, what a fucking day was today. Was today a good day? Well, actually, you know what? Today was a really shitty day. So we talk about the emotions, yes, but we don't actually think that our life is about to end, because nobody is actually starving to death. There is a way for a person who embodies their own self to know, I'm lucky if I have a family, a herd, and I got a job and I got food. I'm lucky. And you begin to be, I'm lucky, and you work your way to, it doesn't ever get unlucky, because you know how many people are not in this position. Okay, so empowerment means that your knowingness is one of open-heartedness. Okay, no hatred, no resentment, none of the low self-esteem, indirect communication, none of that. We get love bombed, it's great. We won't notice until time. You need enough time to notice if they're actually a consistent conscious lover or not. And then the minute that you're friend zoned, that doesn't necessarily help you to gain clarity either, but you will have enough time within a year, within about, not even a year, probably 6 months. It depends, but I'm trying to think of specific situations. There's a certain series of events that have to take place for a person to figure out what actually is taking place. And because relationships that are with understanding are conversations, the ones of us who are saying I do, we don't take it back because we're not getting everything we want. This is the part, it doesn't chip away at your self-worth. So you're living life and I'm living life, and I can recalibrate to what I'm noticing, that you don't know how to speak from your mouth, because like with Cusco and Pacha, Cusco doesn't know how to tell Pacha the truth at the end, but they end up living next to each other, and Pacha knows what Cusco's doing. So I have that situation in my mind, and I'm thinking, yeah, there's no reason for me to point out to you something when I know you're emotionally unavailable because you have a hard time with emotions and I've seen you struggle with them. I'm not going to make it my mission to tell you something. I'm not here to be your parent, and because of being solo poly, so I'm independent emotionally, mentally, everything, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, what's happening? Am I dying? In my mind, I'm not even using my brain to think about what you're doing. Yeah, I'm off busy with my business. I'm off busy with my friends. I'm off busy. So there is not going to be that awareness until you eventually, which does happen. So like in one instance, it took enough time, but there are too many situations for it. It wasn't too much time. See, this is the other part about when you're mystic 5D. you already know every single inch of the moments that you spend, they're all going to serve. They're all going to serve your expansion, which is what makes it even more fucking amazing, which is why the 4D has no idea what they're missing out on. It's too bad they don't go to attachment and trauma therapist. They're on Elsa's forever journey and they never get home. Show yourself. They're always in pseudo-aliveness. This is the sad part, because they are seeking their next thrill. So when I meet women who think they're empowered by saying that men don't ever commit and men this and men that, they're not empowered, and it's not true. And the stereotypes are not a representation of what men are. Men are men if they can have emotional accountability, awareness, and ownership. And that requires a person to have self-awareness and that they're part of a herd. So it requires a person to notice their behavior. Those who don't, they are all, in fact, maladaptive teenagers, men, women, theys, and you see them pretty much doing what they do online and making it seem like movies such as Hangover or Mean Girls or any movie where you got the girl and the guy and you know, kind of like a grease thing going on. It's beyond a shadow of a doubt not going to happen with a person who's empowered. When I was told I thought you would change by the person who I had a very good 4-year relationship with, now, I was not interested in them. When we first started hanging out, we were just friends. I fed them a French fry. They're friends. They're closed-minded, ancient human being friends told this human being that I like them. And when I found that out, I told him I didn't actually like you at all. Like, seriously, I didn't even. And so this is where after 4 years, for example, for me, when I heard other things that he didn't have the ability to tell me to my face, I got really pissed, but it was done with anyways, and I have a beautiful friendship with them. I don't like to talk about this person as my ex. They're a family, like the lovely wife. We love talking about our friendship and how it throws people off because we find it so close-minded that people think your relationship is done once you're done. No, that's not what love is. Love is always so. The bonds, it's like the Rumi quote, we don't know separation. When you love from your heart, and that's the inner child of you, and that's our mammalian heritage, by the way, you're not trying to attach. I didn't try to attach in a way of give me your approval. No, I'm building loving relationships that's freely and with joy. Okay, so what I was going to say about this person is we had an open relationship because I shared with them how I was going to move forward. Then we recalibrated because they weren't aware or appreciative or they didn't want that. And that's where we did. But then when they came to break up, they said, I thought you would change, which in the book of a person that is a restorative embodiment of their self, I know exactly who I am. Anyone who's ever met me as a teenager will know, yep, you've become more of you, more loving, more everything. And that's the part of where this human being knows all my friends. So I was taken off guard as a 25-year-old who's like, what are you talking about? Now, the part about, though, how it feels inside, I didn't feel like I needed. In fact, no, I don't need to change. When people have said anything regarding my relationships that are not and did not continue and they want to point a finger, and they say you're non-negotiable or you this or you that. Yes, I am who I am, and I'm not going to change. You're going to love me for who I am. That's called lovingly accept me. I'm not working for it, and I'm going to have my basic emotions be expressed however I want. I'm a 3-year-old. You're going to be my partner. You're going to take my 3-year-old, and that's it. Otherwise, you're not my partner, because that's how it works. I can't not be myself. This is the part of what empowerment means, when you stand up because you know, yeah, so I'm flawed and imperfect. So what? Aren't you? Don't you have an ego self? Don't you have a 3-year-old? How many people say they don't? This is what was consistently, as a teenager, thrown in my face, which is where I just learned to, whatever, they all are liars. They all don't know how to tell the truth. And today, the attachment trauma researchers, thank you so much. They're all their teenage versions. People who don't know how to handle emotional conversations, that don't know how to be honest all the time, not just sometimes. That means sometimes if somebody says, I think you're a bitch. Let's just say that I'm not a bitch. I don't think of myself a bitch. But a person tells me that. I would say, I'm so sorry you feel that way. Do you want to talk about it or not? And that's serious. That's it. In my heart, I'm not going to question it. if they don't tell me what I did, if they tell me what I did, then I say, okay, let me think about this. And you will find that most of the time you didn't do shit. Because what they want you to do is take care of their own nervous system. So here's where I've never gotten the bitch except for, what was it? No, not even. But let me put those stories aside. Let's talk about the avoidance and the friend zoning and the love bombing, because that one's more important than this other stuff. We'll save this for some other of our episodes, which are always going to be these ones opinionated. But if avoidant, which they do, when you get emotional and in their space about it, they are cornered. And they don't take accountability, and they don't take ownership, and they don't say, yes, let's have a conversation. No, no. So this is where the series of events that take place involve that at a certain point, I'm going to continue to notice your inconsistencies, and I'm going to begin to know you're lying to me, and I'm not a liar, liar, pants on fire. This is where my relationship with a partner is not going to be, I accept that you lie, meaning you're a clown face to me. No, no, I'm going to tell you. I can see your clown face. What are you doing? Because I don't do facades. Because see, the minute you're a clown, I know I don't have an authentic self. So with attachment trauma information, now I can know. I, in fact, have the ability to completely not engage at all. It feels very great. And so enabling, nobody enables anyone. If a person doesn't want to look at their behavior, they won't notice that they have an attachment category that has them shutting down and leaving relationships. If they do, that's great. They can get out of it. And the friend zone, it's a great opportunity because see, for me, love is a constant. So I don't love these people any less. These people are beautiful. They're amazing. What I was trying to get to is the minute that I get upset to the point of where I bring it to you and you don't take it seriously and you actually twist it, meaning you say, you know what, let me tell you you're exaggerating. Now I know that everything that you stand for and represent is a facade. I mean, quote unquote, nothing to you in this sense because my emotions were just thrown in my face. So I'm not going to shame, blame, fault. I'm not going to do any resentment. No resentment. No, oh my gosh, I can't trust men anymore. No, because I've been told how men don't know emotions. And that's called impaired bilateral integration. So you're, in fact, not a whole man to me. You're a person who doesn't have an inner child. I know you don't know emotions. I already had figured it out potentially when I tried to address certain topics and you lied. Then I'm going to figure it out the minute you throw in my face my own emotions. And then I'm done with you as a partner, especially because you can't be partner material if my heart is not part of it. You don't care about how I feel. There's no intimacy. You don't need to touch me. For me to be intimate with you, if my heart's not there, you're not intimate with me. If you see me, now we're getting intimate, and I will know when my actual self is seen. And I know when I get uncomfortable, and I know when I want to share it. And when I do, it's because I know that I have a person that I can share it with, and that usually, in fact, is because of a consistent, contingent, loving, and open-hearted communication. So yes, when you have healthy self-worth men, or at the very least, healthy self-aware and moving into self-worth, because that's the part of where a person's journey is their own, and they're tending to their own embodiment. So restorative embodiment requires the person to consistently work with that behavior if they want, and they will notice that change of mood, they will notice those emotions. If they get attachment trauma informed, then they'll be like, okay, I'm actually healing myself. And I'm getting home to be my inner child, and I'm getting home to my mammalian heritage, and I'm going to become more of a self that can share with others. And they don't have to be spiritual or in spirituality, but they're going to be a person who's the restorative embodiment of themselves. And so they will know awe, grace, connection, peace, beauty, love, and oneness. And you know, the most amazing part is they will know when somebody's looking in their eyes and they're connecting with their sense of self, and the two hearts meet, and they will notice that they want to stay open-hearted and they want the connection to keep building. And so they're going to be doing the same thing, because it's uncomfortable for anyone who has been in relationships. In this case, there's plenty of men who have had relationships with women who did not treat them the way that they should get treated. which is why the gender stereotypes, they're not going to do the difference. The difference is going to be talking about, one, we want secure attachment, restorative embodiment of human beings, because that's your mammalian heritage. And it's because that's integration of the brain, which will make a person's behavior kind and compassionate because you know how to calibrate your nervous system. Here's where the solo polyamory is at. It's relationship anarchy and non-hierarchical because we know how beautiful every person is. And any person who wants to be in the life of any person is not going to love bomb them and then just leave. So again, the friend zoning is an opportunity for us to recalibrate and grow the relationships that we still care about for empowered women and to support our loved ones, because the oversoul matters, especially if you're mystic. You don't lose connection with any of the people that are part of your oversoul, let alone the collective. And on this solar eclipse, that's why I'm sharing this. So we love, like the Rumi quote, from our heart and soul, but we know that we're going to be intimate only in the case of a man and a woman who are empowered, people who are open-hearted and not clown faces. And so you take accountability, ownership, and everything for your emotional stuff and for whatever stress you have. If you're silent, if you're not silent, if you're reactive, you will talk. You answer questions. You keep the lines of communication open. That is what a relationship is in the first place. You cannot and you will not be building anything more than a friendship with a person who love bombs you, by the way, because they're just basically, and you know, here's the other part. You will notice that they're just getting a hit. And eventually, them getting a hit is not really anything more than them looking for a space to feel loved. If they're looking to feel that there's something quote-unquote badass, you're not a badass if you're coming in and out of my life. At a certain point, you will become what I know as the avoidant is a not grown-up emotional person. They're an emotional child. This is very sad. It's sad to see people that consider themselves badass. Men and women think that they are. You're not if you don't know how to be a person in the wholeness of your heart when you're dealing with people, which means having actual conversations. So the feeling of awe, grace, connection, peace, it comes from within you. It's when you have integration of the brain. And that's where, if a person doesn't know how to use their tone, they don't know how to behave, they don't take accountability, they're not self-reflective, you're going to figure it out. Because project, oh, and empowered women, I don't use love bombing as a word, because the reality is I won't consider it love bombing. I'll consider that we shared a bunch of beautiful moments. It'll be sad when I figure out that you're just somebody who has a facade, because now I know that it's pointless, meaningless, because that's what it is when you're a unfinished business of yourself. You're living a nervous system that is not even, there's no owner. Your ups and downs are completely mechanical. So you're in fact, that's what you are. You're an automatic behavior. So it's quote unquote sad because I did not connect to a person. I am not meaningful, but then with the attachment trauma information, I will have compassion and know, wow, they didn't get unconditional love. They didn't get to feel, you know, gooey, ooey, ooey, and they still don't, because they're choosing to get into long-term relationships with other people that do the roller coaster ride because they want more of it, because they remain ignorant to get attachment trauma informed. They remain ignorant of going to good therapy. They remain ignorant of all of it. And they continue to watch shitty movies. I'm just going to say that. And to think that drama is what love is. So they don't know no romancing. Romancing. And here's where we're going to end it. Because I have two episodes. This is going to be the third. So plus I want to get another one done. But romancing is nowhere near when a person is not emotionally available. Okay. So here's the beauty of what a person, me, has always known about love. It can only keep moving higher and higher and higher. So it's been sad, quote unquote, disappointing, because once you recognize that a person has no emotional availability to their self, now I know also about the unfortunate business of their, you know, brokenhearted 1-year-old and 3-year-old and all that. So it's sad for them. But if they get a good therapist, they can get out of themselves and all that. But what I'm trying to do is for a true friend, most amazing, which is why we talk about it. And that too. So friend zone is great because we get to continue our relationships with people, but we'll know that we're not romancing and it wasn't romancing to begin with. But what I was trying to get to is when you really like someone, I mean, I still remember when you're growing up as a teenager, you know, those moments of it's really full of, are they going to like me? Are they not? And that those areas of discovery are just the most amazing. But it's not the highest part of your relationship. It's once you get to begin that then you can begin romancing. And so that's where I would say it's sad when you understand that the restored embodiment person, the empowered woman, will know what romancing is. And so as a teenager, I knew what it meant and still do what it means to commit. And romancing is something that involves our hearts being open to each other and then consistently communicating. So again, the avoidant or the avoidant, fearful type behavior, these are the styles, even for the preoccupied. We won't be, you know, too concerned with it once it's clear what's going on. And thanks to the year 2024 being here with attachment and trauma information, the individuals who love to love and my solo polyamory community over here, we get to keep on engaging with other human beings. And so again, our friend zone is a friend zone and we don't call people exes. We talk to those who are going to have a conversation with us. You can't be somebody who's a potential partner if you don't let me know that I'm your ideal partner. You know what I mean? And that's something that doesn't happen unless there's clear lines of communication. So friend zone is what grown-ups at this point, I don't know how many of you, how old you are, but we have all friends. So a person's a friend, and you'll know if they're not a friend if it comes up to, hey, guess what? You're more than a friend. I personally have shared that with the people that are my lovely lovers. You're not just a friend. You're always going to be more than a friend, but I'm not going to give you a label because there's no way I'm going to give you a label. That's ridiculous. Every person in my life can come and go as they please because I don't need them in my life. I share joy, love, and appreciation. Now, I also know who I'm going to want to spend more time with. It's going to be the person who's a healthy man. Emotionally, mentally, and physically. They're going to be intellectually interesting to be around. They're also not going to lie, and they don't have insecurities that I need to keep reassuring them that they're beautiful, which is why the compersion, they can't be jealous of other partners. If they're jealous, then they can. But the point is, if I tell you there's no competition and you are insecure and you don't have the self-awareness to work with your insecurity, I, the human being, empowered woman, am not going to come coax your fucking ego. This is not, and this is one of the things I learned way when I was, 18? No, 20. I was 20, and yes, the one time I allowed a person to do what they did, and it's great because I got to learn, I will not be allowing a person's insecurity to have me say yes to anything. I also learned how not to put up with too much clown face because that gives people the capacity to speak to you in a way that you are not actually in favor of. So thanks to at least two experiences, I got to learn how to draw the line and how to engage with any person from the beginning, not after. No. From the beginning, you'll be with healthy boundaries. That's because it'll be conversations and I'll be able to say, this is not what I am about. And nope, and nope, and nope. And the solo polyamory comes out sooner than later because that's who I am. It's a part of me, like the 5D mystic. While the mystics who get offended about the woo-woo stuff, I would say there's nothing to be offended about, my lovely mystics, because it's not provable. Like the downloads, you know, people think of it as imagination, and it's not, but it's still imagination, okay? So pseudoscience, again, remember, because I'm not the academic in the research labs, but I do get to learn from them. And when we meet any person, all we want is for them to be happy in life. So my happiness is that avoidance and avoidant fearfuls and anxious, they can all find a person to work that unfinished business with. The irritating, frustrating, potentially for a short time angry part is that they will choose an emotionally unavailable, therefore a person who will shame, blame, fault, and revenge them, a person that will compete with them. They will choose a partner that treats them like shit. So seeing that stuff has definitely an impact of, wow, that's fucked up. It's not, it's unfair, which is what the not empowered women do. So when not empowered women have come to me spelling out whether it was their twin flame or their soulmates or whoever, but do you see, they go out with other people. Look, they have long-term relationships over there. And you try explaining to them all this attachment stuff. Look, they're an asshole because they love bomb me. They ghosted me, did it. And so they continue with the whole asshole bit in a way of not being able to have compassion. But they're busy filling their headspace with this stuff. They're ruminating and they can't let it go. They're bitter. They're the squirrel from Cusco. Okay, so at a certain point, in any and all of these instances with these women, I will say, you loved this person. Means you respected them, means you chose them. You're now upset. You're consistently upset at this, and you're really not doing anything except for being in the life of them. They're making choices for their self. They know what is best for their life. And that's it. So you will be able to notice that somebody's throwing you away to go and date people that treat them like shit. You wish them the best. In fact, actually, this is where you don't lose love or romance. I didn't lose romancing. No, I just learned how many people will allow people to treat them like shit. And now I know, like Patrick Tehan, Childhood Trauma Survivor, Healed and Healing says, we are not like with the little bell. It's that we didn't get taught how to be in a safe environment and to be treated. And when you put into the mix the attachment system, you will unlearn that behavior only if you find yourself saying, you know what? I'm worthy of love. I know I am. Because that's the only way. It's if you have self-compassion that you'll be like, wait a minute. This isn't what it's supposed, women are not supposed to treat me like this. Men are not supposed to treat me like this. They are not supposed to treat me like this. There's a one moment you turn to yourself and say, I don't deserve this. I know what I deserve. I deserve love like any human being. So when a person comes to me and says, somebody doesn't deserve love, I say, no, that's not true. Everyone deserves love. And if they have some situation going down, that's theirs, not yours. And when you find out that trauma is relational, intimacy is the core, you will hold yourself and others the way you were held. Well, there you go. So unfinished business, they marry each other, then they can go to good therapists. Maybe they don't. The codependent type people keep on living their human suffering, love drama. And then there's the 5D collective, which we don't do any of that. We come and have Pacha handshakes and we work with the Cuscos who want to become Pachas. And we all technically will have had, no, not really. I'm trying to think. I've never lied to myself, so I'm not a Cusco. But will I have made up, you know, like, I don't know, white lies? Yes. So there you go. I could be considered a Cusco by others. So there's that. You always can allow yourself to remember not to exclude yourself from anything. We all can be an asshole in somebody's book. So when love bombing gets confused, or what I'm trying to say is when we have a video on this one, when consistent conscious lovers get confused for love bombing, it's a very sad day. Because that's a poor embodied self-aware human being who basically thinks you can't be a person who loves all the time. Instead, I personally know all about it, which is why I was saying it's really sad to know that when you're on a roll, your wings get quote unquote cut. But sooner or later, there's going to be a person who's on a roll and wants to actually explore that level of romance. And that's the fun part. So love is always in the air inside of us, but then it is also with those lovely men who also have emotional desires. And so they are open to their emotions and their thoughts. And that's where the pairs begin to match up. And we'll be back with more. So have a wonderful solar eclipse. And if you have any questions, let me know. And remember, personal development is what we get to do here, helping you to be yourself, the inner growth mindset. And let's actually teach about empowered women and men, which they don't hold grudges. They don't have low self-esteem. Empowerment as grown-ups, it's because of self-aware, self-reflection, so emotional accountability, and you take your nervous system, you regulate it, you learn how not to bring your unfinished business, maladaptive behavior to the world by projecting it. You learn to talk about it. You learn to process it. You learn to do bilateral integration. And in time, you'll move to the embodied, restorative self of you. the restorative embodiment self of you, okay? And integration of the brain and more. It's really beautiful to be here, that enlightenment. So age group, the human way. If you're a mystic, come on, join us so you can get out of the 4D plane and you know, just keep growing that relationship. And obviously the stories support us, but there's a whole different way we get to channel and download and just deal with all of that. It's most amazing. So have a good one.